This Fred and Jeff Show podcast is brought to you by Five Star Pest Control, Anthony's Cigar Emporium, and Arizona Party Rental.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure,
direct from the golf course on radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred...
Good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hello, Fred.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful, Jeffrey.
That is exactly right, Fred.
And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and you could even subscribe to this grand old program on iTunes, and I know that you have some Beyond Pod,
Know, 70% of the phones and devices out there are an Android operating system, so if you're one of those 7 out of 10 people that doesn't have an iPhone, you could still download Fred and Jeff on a couple of different apps, but the one I like is Beyond Pod.
And enjoy this witty banter. And all the love that comes across this microphone every week. So this is our big downtown Tucson show.
Downtown.
We're going to be talking to some folks from downtown, but we have our community calendar as usual. And Jeffrey, I am still waiting, patiently waiting for the queen of the night.
Any time now.
Any second
any
now.
Any time now.
Hopefully, I'm really praying that within the next 50 minutes, we get the big email that says it's tonight.
Oh, is it? The email usually comes out before lunch?
It comes sometime, you know, late morning, early afternoon. They'll send something out. But if it's not tonight, and if it's not broadcast during the show, go to tohonachul.org, or I think it's Tohonachul Park. Tohonachulpark.org, and you can sign up for the newsletter, for the Bloom Night newsletter. And the last big update was Wednesday, and they said that it's coming out, it will be within
the next...
They
thought it might be tonight.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah, last night or tonight. And I got to tell you, Fred, searching around for this Bloom Night, there is a fantastic article in the Zocalo magazine, the downtown magazine, about Bloom Night, and there's a beautiful picture of the bloom, and it gives a real kind of a real good history and synopsis of what this plant and the flower is all about. So a lot of people that I've talked to over the last month and a half are like, what is the deal with this with this queen of the evening? Well, it is something that is so Sonoran Desert. I mean, it's something that's so Tucson that folks that haven't been here for a while, or and even folks that have been here for over 100 years that haven't seen one of these blooms, you're really missing out.
Yeah, it's I think it's like $5 to get in. The Garden Bistro will be open.
As a matter of fact, get this.
Yes.
Since you brought up our friends at the Garden Bistro, they just won a big hamburger competition. Did you know they even had hamburgers at the Garden Bistro?
Yes, I did. And allegedly, Jeffrey, we will be eating some of those hamburgers later on today.
We'll see. I know Jason, the one of the owners of the Garden Bistro, is a big Wimbledon fan, so he's probably right now glued in front of his TV with his son.
This morning I heard some Brit won the men's single, and there was a riot or something.
Cool. Only in Britain can you riot on tennis.
I don't know.
Only in Great Britain. So Jason was saying congratulations to the Garden Bistro. Clearly they have outstanding food there. So, folks, when you make it up to Tohonachul Park for the bloom, definitely have a little tasty treat at the Garden Bistro.
Yeah, definitely.
And since we're talking about food, yesterday, as you know, our Uncle Mickey passed away, and his services were yesterday at the cathedral. And across the street is that fabulous gem of donut. Just it's the mecca of donuts, Le Cave's Bakery, since 1935. So the funeral was outstanding. I mean, he's just an amazing man. We're going to miss him. But after the funeral, to drown my sorrows, I went to Le Cave's and I got a dozen acrylic donuts.
Acrylic?
You know.
Crullers?
No, they're the glazed donuts.
Oh, okay.
And some chocolate. And as you can see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I've already eaten 5 of them. So there's what's left of a dozen here. And look at Tristan's face. Tristan, you want a donut from Le Cave's? Yeah, absolutely. So here's some donuts from Le Caves. Pass them around to all of our friends in the studio. Jim already grabbed one, too. And that's a cool place. If y'all out there haven't been to Le Caves to get a glazed donut, you are missing out because there's no better donut in Tucson.
Speaking of donuts, Jeffrey.
Actually, such a segue, right?
Yeah, there is no segue here, but it's Second Saturdays this weekend. This
no
coming
way!
Weekend. Yeah, the year is flying by. Now, they have their typical stuff. There's all sorts of stuff going on. The Scott Avenue main stage, there's tons of musicians. But the thing that sort of caught my interest is that at the Ronstadt Transit Center, FC Tucson is going to have street soccer over at the transit center.
Didn't downtown Tucson just, or Second Saturdays downtown, celebrate their third anniversary last month or the month before?
I don't recall.
We'll have to figure that out.
Yeah, and as usual, all things down there are free.
But we got a big downtown show coming up pretty quick here, don't we?
That's the one today we're doing
right
now. Yeah,
and I'm sure we're going to be talking about a lot of that stuff during the show.
Yeah.
What else you got on the community calendar there, FRED?
I don't know. You actually sent me some big things going on in the Tucson email that I can't find.
Ah, perfect. I'm glad I sent them to you then.
Yeah, you should be.
Well, let's just wrap this part of the show up then, Fred, because clearly you've done a crap job of research for this week. And there's so much stuff going on. I mean, stuff at the Loft, the kids program, the kids movies are starting.
Yeah, the kids movies are starting.
The Children's Museum of Tucson still having the great Sundays, Science Sundays.
Yeah, but if you go to, like you said, mentioned earlier, and that's why it sort of threw me, and I thought you were going to expand more on this, is there's a Townies Guide to Summer in Tucson in the Zocalo magazine, and we were referring a lot of stuff to that. But you're right, at the Loft Theater, there's Happy Tuesdays, and this week it's Tell Me Something Good.
Tell me something good.
And local comedian, all-around good guy Mike Sterner, and Fish Karma are, you know, they've been doing this thing where they have people come in and talk about their brushes with greatness. So, you know...
I know
but
what I wanted
this,
to say.
This week, they want people to come and talk about their first kiss.
Oh.
So there will be first kiss stories this
Fred,
Tuesday.
Tell us about your first kiss. It was a lizard, right?
Yeah, we're not going to talk about
Fred?
First kiss with a human being.
Oh, not a desert creature, huh?
Not a desert creature.
Okay.
The kiss is back.
And so of those of you folks out there that don't know the story, Fred and I were about 8 and 9, and Fred caught himself a little gray lizard, and my mom freaked out, so she yelled at him to let it go. And Fred was so moved by his minutes relationship with this creature.
I actually had the lizard all day long, and dad, after dinner, who said, son, let it go, son.
All right. So, son, you have to let the lizard back in the wild. Fred reached down, he reached down, and he kissed the lizard on the lips. And the lizard proceeded to grab Fred's lower lips. He bit Fred on the lower lip, and Fred stood there going, oh, with the lizard hanging off of his lower lip. It was quite traumatic. But that was one heck of a first kiss, Fred.
Yeah. Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
But Fred, the one thing you're not talking about, which I am blown away.
That I'm not talking about?
Yeah, it's the 2013 Salsa y Tequila Challenge.
You know,
for the Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance, what's up with
as
you?
As much as
you should be pushing the crud out of this thing. It's in August. It's next month.
No. As much as I love tequila,
yes.
You
don't like salsa?
Of my whole life.
Did you say
this
seltzer?
Is the
salsa?
One thing I'm the snob. I'm a snob with.
Yeah.
These events, they're really nice. They're great for the community. A lot of fun, but in my humble estimation, tequila belongs in a small glass, no salt, no lime. Mm-hmm. You don't use good tequila to make
drinks. Dude,
did
I say salsa and margarita challenge?
No, but they always
it's
like
salsa and tequila challenge.
No, but they always like, you know, your best drink with tequila. To me, the best drink with tequila, this is the formula for me. Bottle, glass, Fred. That's the progression that I want my tequila traveling in. No salt, no lime.
Okay, well, I'll
maybe
make sure
a cigar in a long afternoon, you know, sitting in a patio somewhere.
Right.
That's the tequila I want.
I'll make sure that I let the people at the Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance know, as well as the Community Food Bank, because this is a big benefit for the food bank.
Awesome.
That if they, you know, pollute their tequila with any sort of lime or anything else, that Fred will will boycott. But... Even if you've boycotted, it sounds like a fantastic event.
Hey, yes, and speaking of fantastic events, let's preview a couple of shows that are coming up in the future. We have, we've been going down to Davis Monthan every once in a while, few months.
Yeah, yeah.
There are three guys from Tucson, based at DM, who just were awarded Purple Hearts, and there's a huge article that was done by the military, and we're going to have them on talking about their experiences in theater, as they say. We're also going to be talking.
What does that mean?
You know, when they're out cruising around, tooling around, saving, protecting our freedoms.
Perfect.
So another show we're going to have is we're going to be talking to some firefighters about a really exciting program where there's going to be an exchange of firefighters from Southern Arizona going to Israel. So those are some shows to look forward to. Jeffrey, it's time to take a break, I think.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here waiting for you.
Well, you're the guy. You're the break guy. You are the break monkey.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, stick around for more here on the Big Downtown Fred and Jeff Show. We'll be right back.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contractors, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and the Downtown Tucson Partnership.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
And welcome back. This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And God, during the break, so many things happened.
It was crazy.
We now have hamburgers, and we also have, I think, we're going to have breaking news here, Jeffrey.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Bloom Night
direct
is tonight.
From the Fred Jeff studio here at wherever we are. Jason Hardenbach, the man I was just talking about a minute ago. Did you hear me on the radio, Jason?
I did.
Yeah, and so you brought us three burgers.
I did. I brought you our famous Chul Burgers, which have cob smoked bacon, tumbleweed onions, smoked cheddar, a brioche bun, and all with a Harris Ranch patty.
What's a Harris Ranch patty?
Harris Ranch is a specialty farm out in California, and they really work on sustainable type meats. They really, they're grain fed. They're range fed for the first 80% of their life, and then the last 20, they're corn and grain fed. So they're really natural, no antibiotics, none of that kind of stuff.
Sweet. So. And just folks, if you weren't here the first part of the show, Jason, you're the guy that owns the Garden Bistro at Tohono Chul Park.
Yes. We've been there for a little over a year now.
And these are the burgers that I just read you got the big award on.
We won second place. The Citizen gave us second place for best burger in Tucson.
You're number two.
Yep.
Nice.
Right behind the Ritz-Carlton.
The Ritz-Carlton?
Yep.
So the Ritz-Carlton's only place to get a burger?
Yeah, but those guys, no, that's corporate burgers.
That is corporate burgers.
It's a different world.
Yeah, it really is.
You are number one in our eyes.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
We got
local.
Actually, yeah, local, and our guy right here in the studio, and you brought us burgers.
We did.
And you brought us news.
And good news. What's the big news?
Bloom Night is going to happen tonight at Tohono Chul. The queen is here.
The queen's ready.
Yes.
All right, folks. So you heard it here.
Probably heard it here first.
Probably. Get your fanny in your car tonight. What time should people start heading out to Tohono Chul?
Opens at 6.
6 till?
Midnight.
Midnight.
Wow. Wow. And you'll be open all night?
We'll probably be open till about 10.
Till 10 o'clock?
Till 10.
So if you're going out to Bloom Night tonight, bring yourself an appetite. And can we give away a gift certificate?
Yes, please do.
All right, so...
They can actually call.
Yeah. What's the phone number, Fred?
I don't know.
What's the phone number, Tristan?
751-1041.
751-1041. First caller gets a $25 gift certificate to the Garden Bistro at Tohono Chul to have some of these fantastic burgers or all kinds of other fare. Mm-hmm. And who's the plate boy you brought back here? Who's this kid?
Brought my son Jackson with me.
Jackson, how you doing, buddy? Good. You know, people can't hear you from way back there.
I think that's where he likes it.
Yeah. All right. Jason, thanks a ton for these burgers.
You're welcome, guys. I hope you enjoy them.
Thanks a bunch. All right. What else we got going on, Fred?
No, Tristan just took my mic away.
Uh-oh. What happened? Do we need to get the phone number again?
No. Oh, we got a caller.
You got a caller? Take him.
Here, Tristan, you do it.
On air?
Sure, why not? We never get to take callers. Sure.
So, who are we talking to? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hey, who is this?
My name's Rachel.
Hey, Rachel. Welcome to the Friend Jeff Show. Thanks for listening. So, you are our first caller. Wow, yeah. All the lines are lit up. This is awesome.
Hey, Jason, can we give away more than one? Okay, yeah. First five callers get $25 gift certificate. So if you're still on the phone, hang on. We'll get to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Actually, you know what? We got a lot of stuff to talk to.
Yeah, we do. So let Tristan take care of it.
Yeah, so the next five callers, the next four callers, all five of you get a gift certificate to the Bistro. Hopefully, we'll see you tonight at Tolo and Chul.
Yeah, yeah.
So, thanks, Jason. We appreciate it. And we're going to enjoy these hamburgers. But downtown is the thing.
Downtown.
You know, I regret in so many ways my creating that little song that we do. It's a great little ditty. We love it. It's one of our ads for Downtown Tucson. But we sing Downtown and butcher the life out of that song.
What are you talking about? That's an instant classic.
All right. Jeff, could you introduce our guest?
No.
Okay, well.
That's your job, Fred. Come on.
So with us is...
I know Tamara, but come on.
Tamara Mack from the Fox Theater downtown. And with her is Robert Shaw. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good to be here.
Robert, what do you do?
Well, I actually run a production company that specializes in nostalgia-based entertainment.
So
music from the 50s, 60s, 70s all over the United States. Yeah.
That's awesome. How'd you involved in that?
We've been around for about 8 years, and it started out with me performing. I sing a little Elvis now and then.
I noticed the hairdo.
And it evolved into, we found an audience that really enjoyed that type of music, so now we do not just Elvis. We've got 30 different productions, the Rat Pack, Bobby Darin, Johnny Cash, all that kind of good music from the 50s and 60s primarily.
Now, make my day. Are these all local people?
Mostly.
That's awesome.
We have a good, strong local core. We'll bring in some headline talents from New York or L.A. sometimes.
Wow.
But we have wherever we can, we go local first.
That's awesome. Tamara, how'd you get hooked up into these guys?
Oh, they're awesome. And he's being humble. They play a lot at the Fox, and they just do phenomenal shows. They've got a real big fan following.
Okay, now, I have got to tell you, as a huge fan of the Fox, and by the way, we were downtown having dinner at Proper mm-hmm. the other night, and we noticed that you've renamed it the Faux Theater, because the X is out.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. Oh, no, I hate to hear that.
So we're walking down the street. Oh, no, that's not what it was. We went to my kids' Olio. They're in that music and art camp, and they had their Olio at the Leo Rich Theater, and we're walking down, and I've got a 9-year-old, a 10-year-old, and they look up, and they love the Fox. They love the sign. They're like, hey, it's now the Faux Theater. What did they change the name?
We'll be rocking the X tonight.
I'm right? Just teasing you.
Tamara will be on a ladder this afternoon.
Yeah, right. Oh, boy.
I got to tell you, you guys have had a transformation down there over the last couple of years with the mm-hmm. acts that you're bringing in, how you've really reached out to the community. It's crazy.
Right. Well, good feeds more good. I mean, it's just, one of those great vicious cycles.
It's wonderful.
We've had great people in. The talent's increasing. The number of shows are increasing. And, people are coming out. They're turning out.
Now, tell us, what do you do that makes the Fox so great? How are you responsible for that?
Oh, I can't take responsibility.
Take some responsibility, Tamara.
I love being part of it, the energy, and just getting the word out.
And what do you do? What's your job?
Well, I do development and sales and events.
Okay. I gave her the nickname Director of Awesome.
I like that.
You know, this isn't the Fred and Jeff pickup show, you two. How long have you been down there?
I've just been there as an employee for a year now.
There you go.
I was a volunteer before that, though, doing spokesperson stuff for them for events. But it's been a great year, and we just got some great concerts in. And one of the big things we're really doing with the Fox is focusing on rentals and bringing in a lot of community groups that rent the hall, use the facility for their businesses and events. So it's really packing the theater all the time, bringing in new people who then come to more shows. So it just keeps building.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So you guys will rent the Fox to just about anybody that
anybody
has...
Anybody who pays.
anybody with a check.
Good call.
But absolutely. I mean, we've got some movie premieres we're working on right now. right now, photo shoots that we're doing, kind of reviving the old glamour of the Fox, and then we're doing college graduations, and we're working with U of A for a lecture series in September on Wednesday nights.
Oh, that's a great idea.
All kinds of
different... is that the science, the College of Science?
It's the Happy to Get Happiness series with the behavioral sciences.
Oh, they're going to start doing that at the Fox?
They are, Wednesday nights, and then we're going to have overflow at the TUP building, live broadcast.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so, you know, just reaching out to the community, making a real community center, as well as a great concert hall and movie palace.
So for those folks out there, the one or two that don't know, mm-hmm. how old is the Fox?
Well, yeah, it was built in 1929, opened 1930. And when you hear about the Chasing Rainbows Gala, it's based off the first movie that was shown there, Chasing Rainbows. And actually went, you know, it was a great movie palace up until the 70s, finally closed it down, stayed the way it was, kind of dormant, until some folks got it back together and opened again in 2006. And we've been rocking and building ever since.
Absolutely. It's really gained some steam. It's great.
So and great season
so
ahead.
Give our listeners some idea of who's coming to play at the Fox.
Yeah, we just announced our fall 2013 season. It's the first year we've been able to do this so far ahead of time. We've got it booked up, and we're selling tickets. We're almost sold out already of Lyle Lovett and John Hyatt.
I love Lyle Lovett. You know what my favorite Lyle Lovett song is? Stand By Your Man. He does a great rendition of
that. Well, that's good. That's good. But he's got a great following. That's November 7th, and we're almost sold out. So the season's going well.
Wow.
But we've got lots of great country. Randy Travis, Vince Gill for the Chasing Rainbows Gala.
You know, the great part about going to the Fox is one night it's a country, mm-hmm. next night it's Hawaiian, the next night it's a movie, the next night you got the Rat Pack there, the next night you got a comedian. You guys are doing so much fun stuff for the adults. Are you doing some fun stuff for the kids?
Well, we do. I mean, there's some good crossover. The kids' concerts we don't do a whole lot with. And the Rialto and some of our other sister theaters do great at tapping into some of the other areas and demographics. We do the movies still.
Right.
We've actually got Babe coming up in September. And we're
Babe the Pig,
Babe the Pig
movie. Oh, that's awesome.
We're co-promoting with the Humane Society to help benefit them. But we're actually going to have guinea pig races in the lobby animals there. And
that's awesome.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
That is great. You know,
so
that's perfect.
Making those kind of partnerships in the community is going to be real important for us in the Fox.
Well, I think that's one of the things that's made you guys so successful.
Is
reaching out across the community.
Right. Well, and, you know, that's a good transition with Robert here with Lonely Street Productions.
Yeah, I was just going to...
We co-pro with them. Yeah. You know, and he's got some great Elvis shows coming up here that's on our schedule. Great following behind those. And of course, tonight's event, which we're working with Robert, he's going to tell you all about, but this is a great example of the community coming together.
Absolutely. Some of these things are just, you know, serendipity, the way that, you know, this is a downtown show.
I love that word, serendipity.
But, you know,
it's good as pickle.
It's nice that we have these connections with, you know, our hearts going out and community coming together. So, Robert, why don't you talk about the event tonight over at the Fox?
Absolutely. I'd be delighted to. Tonight.
Wait, before you do that, would you like a hamburger? We got a bunch of... I'm going to start cutting into
them. Talking with my mouth full.
That's right. Your mom will probably get upset.
Well, tonight's concert's called The Last Alarm Concert, and I'm sure that most of your listeners probably heard about the tragedy with the Prescott firefighters just 1 week ago today. 19 brave men lost their lives, you know, fighting for their friends and neighbors. And our company goes to Prescott on a regular basis. I mentioned we travel the nation, but we have a hub throughout Arizona, and we go to Prescott on average once a month. And we've got a really great connection with the audience and the people there, and it's such a neat town. The metro area has about 250,000 people, but it feels like one of those towns where it's 100 people. Everybody knows everybody.
Oh, yeah.
It's just
certainly
that close-knit.
That's like a Mayberry, you know, Main Street kind of community.
Yeah. And, you know, we've had a lot of great support from the first responder community to our shows up there. And when I read that story last Sunday, it just hit me. You know, I felt heavy from the moment I read it. And I woke up Monday morning and I thought, we got to do something for these guys. And so I called up Craig, the director of the Fox, and said, hey, would you guys be interested in teaming up and trying to throw a concert together? Let's get all the money to the families, the surviving families, and just see who we can get out, you know, in a short notice, week's short notice. And so that's what we put together. So tonight, it's the Last Alarm Concert. We've got four terrific acts who are all graciously donating their time and their talent.
That's awesome.
Mr. Dave Sitton is our MC, a community leader, and voice of the Wildcats.
And he's got a couple shows on right after us.
Yeah, so and I'll actually be back if people just can't get enough. I'll be back talking with Dave in a bit. But and then David Fitzsimmons is going to come and provide some comic relief for the evening. And we're just looking forward to it. We would really love to pack the house because our company and the Fox are donating all of their time and effort too. The Fox is donating the theater. So literally every cent that comes through the door is going directly to the families.
That's wonderful.
There's a suggested donation of
$20.
$20.
Pay what you can.
Hey, as
a
matter of fact,
give a dollar, give a dollar. If you can give a hundred, give a hundred.
That $20 that Craig owes me, just tell him to put it in the kitty.
Perfect.
That's great. That is fantastic what you guys are doing. That's doing something like that is what helps make Tucson a great place to live. You guys giving back to our neighbors to the north.
The response has been phenomenal, too. Just social media marketing, people are doing a great job sharing it. You know, you guys having us on board, the entire local media community has embraced it. So it's just, we're really hoping that, we pack this place and we can actually make a difference in these families' lives.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for what you guys are doing.
Thank
really,
you guys for
really
having
cool.
us on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well,
absolutely.
We encourage people to go there tonight. Doors open at?
Doors open at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
Shows
at
7. We'll be done by 9 so they can shoot over to Tohono Chol.
To watch the blooms. And then get a burger.
That'll be the height of the blooms about 9 o'clock.
Man, who says there's nothing to do in Tucson during the summer? That's crazy.
Night.
Good job. All right, folks. We've got to take a break.
For the schedule and other events going on the Fox website?
It's foxtucson.com.
And do you guys have a website for your group?
Yeah, lonelystreet.com.
Lonelystreet.com.
I forget, it's the Elvis song, Heartbreak Hotel, down at the end of Lonely Street.
Oh, give us a little bit on the way out.
Oh, goodness, no, it's too
late.
Early.
All right, folks, we got to take a break. We'll be right back with more of your neighbors here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Garden Service, Mayfield Florist, and Arizona Party Rental.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
And we're back.
And we're back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstein with my little brother Jeffrey with a mouthful of food.
Where did you go?
I was taking our guests out.
Oh. I'm over here munching on a hamburger, and Trisha says, 5 seconds. I'm like, wait.
They're ready. They had to run back to the Fox and get everything set up for tonight, the big the fundraiser.
I'll tell you what, that sounds like a great night. You can go to the Fox, have a lot of fun, and then once you leave the Fox, head straight north to Tohono O'Chul, have a little something to eat, and watch that beautiful bloom.
Oh, yeah. Hundreds of blooms out there.
Wow.
Actually, they have a contest. If you correctly identify the number of blooms that night, you get your own night blooming cirrus.
No way. And I heard you can buy them.
Oh, yeah. The greenhouse is open as well. So if you wanted to have a cirrus at your own house, you can buy them there.
But the funky thing is even if you buy them, plant them at your house, do everything you're supposed to do, there's no guarantee that the plant will ever bloom. Isn't that crazy?
It's a wonderfully mysterious plant.
Crazy.
And but it's
only
just,
here.
It's only here, yeah.
Yeah.
In the Sonoran Desert. So with us now is Mike Holmes. He is the executive director of Imagine Greater Tucson. Now, we had Imagine Greater Tucson on the show about a couple years ago when they were sort of getting together and
They were imagining things.
They were imagining things.
Right.
They're imagineering stuff way back in the day. And they've done a lot of work since then. And Mike, you're a relatively new executive director.
I am. I've been on board just over a year.
Yeah. And so give us just some background.
Well, now, wait a minute. You always like to get right into it.
All right. Well,
where are you from, Mike?
We moved here 6 years ago from Orlando, Florida.
We?
My family and I.
How? You got kids?
I've got 3 kids.
How old are they?
I've got 2 in the university. They're 21 and 19. And I've got 1 graduating from Cienega High School this coming year. She's 17.
Oh, that's awesome. How was the transition?
The transition, well, I brought teenagers.
By the way, who's this over to your right?
I have my wife here today.
Because she's really chuckling up a storm over there with that question.
Well, because she has the answer. Would you like to say something about that?
No.
Well, that's the answer right there.
There you go.
No, we moved here. I was in Iraq in 2005, and I wanted to get out of the Army and bring my family back together. I found a great place to be at Fort Huachuca, teaching what I'd been doing the previous 5 years for the military.
Which is what?
Intelligence operations. Okay. So I was teaching the young soldiers how to find and deal with the terrorists downrange. And but I specifically chose this area because of the Sky Islands. I love Southeast Arizona, and it was just a great place to move to rebuild my family and bring everybody back together.
That's awesome. So the girl, all boy, girl, boy,
all girls,
all
a lot of prom dresses.
You are a very, very lucky man.
Okay.
If you well, and I always say to people, you know, when you have a boy, that boy gives you up, gives mom and dad up to go to her family.
Absolutely.
When he gets married. But you, when you have a daughter, she is with you till the tomb.
I have to tell you, I've got some fantastic young men that hang around my house. My children have chosen well.
Yeah. So, you know, you got son-in-laws coming into the picture soon.
Not too soon.
But I don't want to,
They're pleasant.
If they're listening out there, that's not carte blanche for anything, right?
Exactly.
All right, so you're here in Tucson, and tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, Imagine Greater Tucson really started out about 5 years ago to answer a number of questions, but probably the leading one was, why are our kids leaving? Why can't we keep our 20-year-olds? I mean, they're the next generation. They're the juice that will move us forward, and they leave in droves. And so that and other questions, why can't we have an economy that's moving forward? Why are we having such issues here? And remember, this is 2008, 2007 time frame. And so Imagine Greater Tucson started with a very simple idea. Let's ask the people what they want this region to look like as we move forward. No more debates about whether we should grow or should not grow, but really and truly, how are we going to deal with the where we are and where we want to be? So over about a three-year period of time, we asked over 10,000 people across the eastern end of the county, and I'm literally talking 3 points in east of the county line, north and south to each county line, what is it that you valued? And they gave us a list of 60 shared values that are pretty common sense, but the idea was that changed the conversation from what we don't like about each other to what we really do like and what we want to support.
We like that. That's great.
So this community conversation then went forward to, so what would you like this to be about? What do you want this region to look like? How do you want us to accommodate the next million people that will come here in the next 50, 60 years or so? And what we found out was people want choices. People, it's great. Let's continue with single-family homes if that's what you want out in the new developments in the desert. That's fine. But at the same time, let's build smart townhomes and smart mixed-use developments in the city and sort of fill in those spaces in between. You know, one of the biggest problems that we hear about all the time are potholes in the streets. Well, no wonder. We have more miles of road per citizen that the average county resident has maintained than almost anywhere else in the country. We can't maintain the roads we have, so let's not build more. Let's build more intelligently, more compactly, and more and in a way that we can maximize the use of the roads we have, for instance.
So is Imagine Tucson more about urban planning than it is about anything else?
It is about urban planning, yes, but it is also about transportation and how we do that. It is also about how do we build in such a way that maximizes the effectiveness of education so that each of our kids have great access to the schools. We've got wonderful schools here. I live in the Vail School District. It's done wonderfully well for my kids. But you know what? Just 12, 15 miles away, we've got TUSD and the struggles that they have. Why do we have to do that? Why can't we build in a more compact way so that you get more of a distribution, a natural distribution? I'm not talking about a government solution here. I'm talking about market solutions.
So back to your original question that folks posed,
mm-hmm.
Why are our kids leaving? Why are our kids leaving?
You know, the bottom line is what we found, we haven't built the environment that they want. You look not just at what we found here in Tucson, but across the country. The 20-something generation is looking for better ways to live, different ways to live. They want to live in an urban setting. They want to live where they can walk to work or bike to work, and they want those kinds of choices where they don't have to get in a car and drive for miles and miles and miles. If you think about it, my kids, for instance, grew up for a third of their lives strapped in the back of a car seat, in the back of a minivan. I mean, they hate getting in a car to go 12 miles, 15 miles, 30 miles to find anything to do. They'd much rather be right there on the scene. And we haven't built that in Tucson, but we can. We've got a great head start when you look at downtown.
And, you know, it's interesting because part of our culture is sprawl. You know, you don't see homes in Tucson with basements or attics. You see homes in Tucson with single floor, 17 rooms. And so, you know, you just kind of keep building because we don't build vertically.
That's absolutely right. And I'm not talking about building 15, 20-story skyscrapers, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a development where you've got 3 or 4 or 5 stories on top of some retail shops, and you've got everything you need so that somebody can walk out of their apartment, go down a flight of stairs, hit the Starbucks, or better yet, the locally owned Ike's Coffee Shop.
Spark Root or one of those guys, right.
And have everything you need all within that walking distance. You know, it's really no mystery why when you go to Disneyland, the first thing you hit off of the monorail is Main Street USA, because it's a hearkening back 100 years ago, literally, to that time when people did live in that more compact urban setting.
So this is sort of a derivative of the urban New Urbanism that was really popular, like in the 80s.
And they're a good band. Yeah, I like them.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the people told us they wanted, though. This isn't something we dreamed up. If the 10,000 right. people plus that we'd talked to across this region had told us, you know what, we want to continue spreading out from wall to wall. You know,
yeah, I don't think anybody wants that.
They don't. And that was the real
revelation. But, you know,
revelation.
It's so hard to take people out of their cars.
Yes.
You know, and it's hard to tell people they got to get on a bus. And it's hard. You got to ride your bike when it's 103 degrees, and you're going to the office, and you get there, and you smell like, you know what?
It gets a bit sticky.
Yeah. And so you guys are talking about not just downtown, but you're talking about multiple centers around Tucson.
That's exactly
right. That
kind of
look
right.
like a downtown.
It's a regional approach. So of course, you know, we want Marana to be the best Marana it can be, and Oro Valley the best it can be, and
sure.
Sorita and Vail. I'm sure they're going to vote to incorporate here in the next several months. So that's fine. But let's not build too much more of that. Let's keep these centers where we do have people living. And Sam Hughes is a great example. Not downtown, but its own little urban area in the middle of town. Mixed use, and great neighborhood life, great lifestyle, but still separate enough. Those are the things we should celebrate in those wonderful communities like that.
So you're advocating neighborhoods.
Absolutely.
What a concept.
And let's just not, and a neighborhood is just not a bunch of residences. A
right.
neighborhood is inclusive of everything, the businesses that
right.
support it, the drug stores, the shopping centers, the grocery stores, all
right.
those little things that make it worthwhile.
The folks that bring in the local produce, the farmers
Absolutely.
Markets. All the things that we're seeing kind of coming to the table in the last five or six, or actually the last decade, coming in.
That's exactly
those
right.
are the things that will help keep our kids here in Tucson, making Tucson a more vibrant city.
That's why they're moving to Austin and Salt Lake City,
Portland,
and Kansas City,
and Seattle,
Portland,
yeah.
you know, places that are doing that. You know, I like to point out, you look at Austin, Texas. Now, I have an affinity for it. I graduated from the University of Texas, and so did this silent lady to my left. when we left there in 1987, it had just gone through a housing crisis. I mean, you know, crash. Moribund city government. The city council was even debating chasing off the musicians.
Wow.
5-10 years later, when we returned, you know, it became Austin. It was the home of live music.
Right.
Austin's about 275 square miles city limit to city limit. It's got about 800,000 people in it. Tucson's about 235 square miles city limit to city limit with about 500,000 people in it. Now, look at those two. How did Austin figure out how to squeeze 300,000 more people in roughly the same shape and size place? They did it because they were able to build up a little bit. Not a lot. But a bit. And they've been wildly successful doing that. We can do that too. Not to become Austin, but to become the best Tucson we can be.
All right, we got to take our last break of the hour, and we are going to come back and talk some more about that. So, folks, stick around for more here on the Fred and Jeff Show.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Women Investing, Ronsted Insurance, and 1702 Craft Beer and Pizza.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
And welcome back, Tucson. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're eating some tasty, award-winning burgers
from
the Garden Bistro up at Tonachul.
Fabulous.
Where you can have a wonderful meal and check out the Night Blooming series. Tonight,
after you go down to the Fox.
To the fundraiser for the 19 hotshots who gave their lives in the fire last week.
Right, right, right. But in studio with us right now, Fred,
we have Mike Hobbs, who is the executive director. I mean, did I say that right?
No.
You said Mike Hobbs.
I don't know why I said
like
Hobbs.
Sherlock.
Yeah.
Sherlock Hobbs? Who's
Mike,
that?
No, Mike well Holmes. Mike
Watson.
Mike Holmes,
there
who's
you
the executive
go.
Director of Imagine Greater Tucson. And before the break, we were talking about sort of this process that we've been going through over the course of the last 5 years, sort of identifying values in the community and how we essentially keep the young folks hanging around.
So,
wait, before we get that,
because
that was Fred just giving a recap.
Oh, all right.
What I want to do is continue our conversation about Austin. So before we had the break, you made the correlation, or you made the statement that Austin was able to do these fabulous things in a city roughly the same size of Tucson with a lot fewer people than we have now in Tucson. And so what I want to know is, what are some of the things specifically that they did in Austin to make that happen?
Well, you know, what they really did was they realized, and this was all happening around 1989, 1992 time frame. You may remember there was a bit of a recession going on as well. And they realized a couple things. One, they had the strength of the University of Texas. Like we have the strength of University of Arizona,
another great school.
Exactly. So they realized that if they could figure out a way to make an environment that would keep that talent there, that businesses would then come from outside to be able to use that talent. Michael Dell, classmate of my wife's, was retained there by a group of smart businessmen that said, if you want to build this company, Michael, build it here. Build it in the region where you'll have all this raw talent coming out every single year to take advantage of. Advanced Micro Devices, another one. Just a number of these tech companies started coming in to take advantage of that. At the same time, it was a part of a quality of life thing, too. We had all these musicians, these street kids that were running around making no money, making no living. Give them a place to perform. Give them a reason to be there. It creates that kind of quality of life.
And I'm telling you, buzz.
Absolutely. People would come to take advantage of that. Willie Nelson would relocate and come back to be able to take advantage of that. We have so much of the same kind of things. We're not Austin. We're never going to be Austin. We're going to be Tucson.
Right.
We're going to be so much better. We've got 4,000 years of human existence history here. No other place in North America has that long-term approach of people living here. And why? Because we have great weather. We got great, great natural resources, and it's just a wonderful place to be. And we should build on that.
So, and I just got to say, because it's kind of the white elephant. Do you think the tax structure in Texas helped them?
Certainly, it did. But at the same time, I would not say that we are overtaxed here. We should probably tax differently.
Okay.
Make it a more of an incentive type thing and a cooperation between the governments. But that truly is for the people to decide. But regardless, if you build an environment that people want to live in, mm-hmm. and that will retain, that people will move here because it is such a great place. And right. I don't mean just retirees, but I mean youngsters that are going to build the future. Businesses will come to take advantage of that. Businesses will come to take
to cater to those kids. Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's it.
So Austin, fantastic. So there are people out there have done it, and we want to try to emulate their successes.
Right.
Are we doing anything right now that you see as a big step in that direction?
Absolutely. You know, when we moved here 6 years ago and we walked around downtown Tucson, it was dead.
Right.
I mean, you had the Rialto Theater, and you had the Fox had just reopened, and you had, of course, Hotel Congress, and maybe a few other things. But, I mean, on the weekends, there was no reason to be there. It was a government center. Here we are 5-6 years on, and it's hopping. And I'll give you a great story. A couple months ago, I went to my stepbrother's wedding in Indianapolis. My sister and I wanted to go to downtown Indianapolis because it had a rebirth a couple of years ago, and we wanted to find a good local place to you know, eat and hang out. We couldn't find one. You could find McCormick and Schmick's, Bubba Gump Shrimp Company, you know, TGY Fridays or whatever. All that stuff was there.
Corporate stuff.
Corporate stuff, but not one thing that was local. We had to go 12 miles out of town to a neighborhood to find that. You come to Tucson, it's exactly the opposite, and that is wonderful. We have such great native-grown things happening in downtown that it's a shame that more people don't go there, really and truly, because it is fun. It is a great place to be.
I think a lot of people are getting the word, and they are traveling downtown.
And they should be, because it's something to celebrate.
Yeah, but downtown's going to be more than just a bunch of bars and restaurants.
True. You know, we are opening more housing there, that's mm-hmm. true, but we need a good mix of housing there, and what we really need is some of the life support that goes along with it. A good grocery store, doesn't have to be a big one, something on the scale of Trader Joe's or even just a local market of some kind. Drug stores, the things that you need to be able to live. So you've got that good mix, the neighborhoods that we talked about in the last segment.
Absolutely.
And it's coming. I can see it happening. I can see all of these things happening to us here in this region. It's just a matter of how much kicking and screaming we're going to put up with before it does.
Right.
And it truly is. And what shape it will be. Will it be a good development, or will it just be something that happened because we didn't plan for it?
Well, and during the break, I give you a hard time because you said, you know, we talked to 10,000 people. But really, you guys continue that conversation with as many people
Absolutely.
That will talk to you about how we all imagine Tucson being.
And so the next conversations that we're having are going to be focused around transportation. If you want to grow, you got to have infrastructure to be able to grow.
Right.
The reality is that things happening outside of our region are going to really impact us here in the next 20, 30 years. The deep part of port at Guaymas is going to increase trade from Mexico, which is a good thing. but you got to be able to deal with the freight that comes along with that. The Interstate 11 discussions that we're having about that last leg of the Kanamex Highway, we have the opportunity in front of us here to be a truly international intersection where businesses would want to come. But we're going to have to do some things differently, and that's the next round of conversations.
And give me an idea, or give all of us an idea of what are you saying? We have to do things differently. Like what?
Well, let's just ADOT says right now that 20% of the traffic on I-10 and I-19 through Tucson is freight. So every fifth vehicle is a truck.
Wow.
When these changes coming on, they reckon it's going to go as high as 50%. Now imagine where you and I are going to drive when every other vehicle on our interstate system is a semi.
Yeah, that's too much.
That is too much. So we got to figure out a way to be able to handle that. Now, I don't know what the answer is. Chuck Huckleberry has proposed a sort of bypass loop system around town. That's an answer. It may not be the answer. There may be other options out there. That's what we want to talk to the community now about. How do you see us growing with this kind of trade? It's going to come some way or another.
Whether we like it or not,
it's like the monsoon.
I used to say, it's sort of, we've had this mentality in Tucson, it's sort of the antithesis of the field of dreams. if you build it, they will come. We have this thing, if you do not build it, they will not come. But the reality is if you do not build it, they still will come, and we won't have
the reason people like Tucson. Well, the reason people want to come to Tucson, there are things that are out of our control, i.e., the weather,
yes,
the Sonoran Desert,
the University
of Arizona, Davis Mon. I mean, things that are ingrained in our community
that aren't going away.
Right.
If we do nothing, we're still going to have I-10 and I-19.
Right.
And there will still be a lot of trucks coming through town. So how do you handle that?
Nogales is a major port of entry.
Absolutely.
Right?
Mexico is the United States' number two trading partner, and it is growing. So, and we can't change where we are. We are here. We're in Tucson, and we're going to be that port of entry for this entire chunk of the country.
So all the neighbors that are listening to us today and everybody that wants to get involved, what can we do to support you guys to help us make a better Tucson?
One is engage in the discussion. And whether you do it with us or there's a number of other organizations out there, we're partnering with some of the other. I can't disclose them yet because this is still working through various boards
and
directors.
Come on. Who will know? Just between you and us.
And
our moms are only other listeners.
No, but we're looking for to partner with other community organizations that want to have this discussion moving forward. I can say Arizona Forward is working with us on this to make this a statewide discussion because it truly includes Phoenix and the rest of the state. But we're looking for other organizations that want to have this discussion where we can go back out to our constituents and say, what do you want to see? How do you want this to be? And then let's put it to the politicians and say, this is what we want.
And this is a bipartisan discussion.
Nonpartisan
discussion. We'll talk to anybody between Al-Qaeda and American Nazi Party. Those two we don't touch, but everyone in between we're good.
Oh, my God. Good for you. Well, listen, thanks so much for what you're doing.
Thank you for having me on.
You brought the family to town. You're helping us create a better community. Anything we can do to support you, we absolutely want to do it.
Let's continue the discussion.
Great. Thanks a bunch. Oh, and if people want more information, where can they go?
You can go to imagingreatertucson.org.
Okay.
Or you can find us on Facebook, Imagine Greater Tucson. Or if you really just are lost out there, give me a call. My name is Mike Holmes, 520-226-6768. I'll direct you.
Awesome. All right. Fred, we got one more gift certificate to give away to Tohono Chul.
Do we?
Yeah, we do. What's the phone number again? Phone number is
751-1041.
751-1041. We have one more gift certificate to give away.
And you know what? Just for the
first caller gets it.
And just because the bloom is tonight, let's give away a dozen roses from our friends at Mayfield. So you get $25 to Tohono Chul and a dozen roses
from Mayfield's
from
Forest.
Mayfield
that
Forest.
Sounds good. 751-1041. Give us a call, folks, and we'll dial you in. And folks, thanks a bunch for listening. Stick around for some Dave Sitton. You love him. He's got a lot of good things to say today. And I don't know, how much more time do we have there, Tristan? 30 seconds. Fred, what else you got?
He allegedly has good things to say.
No, Dave's got a lot of good things to say.
But go to friendjeff.com. All the stuff we talk about is on that website. So all the links that we talk about, people we talk to, all those past shows, friendjeff.com.
Right.
And as Jeff is stuffing his face with the last of Cobb's donut,
no.
We will say
adios, folks, and we'll see you next week here
with
on
Osiris Rex.
That's right, here on the Fred and Jeff Show. Have a great week.